The initial problem taking law exams, however, stems ironically from the success law students have had taking tests in the past. Probably no one gets into law school without being good at taking tests. Problem is, the tests you've done well at tend to be of a type different from what you now encounter in law school. What is the typical exam you've been successful taking for so many years? Largely an exercise in regurgitating information, right? If you've done the assigned reading, attended to class discussion, in response to questions, instructions, you give back information committed to memory and/or your interpretation of such information. For example, suppose a question, what are the reasons for the pilgrims migrating to the New World? If you've done the assigned reading, you'll likely recall a political motive, perhaps a moral, a social, an economic motive, and of course a religious motive. Maybe some other factors. Generally, you've gleaned this information from assigned readings, and now you give it back to the grader. You've pretty well handled the question. This pattern of exam response, give back information, it's not something you think about consciously, it's just what you expect to do in an exam situation. This expectation is reinforced by the way the term progresses in law school. Day after day, week after week, more cases, more principles, more rules to digest. A cascade of legal information comes at you. You try to sort it out, until by the end of term, you go into an exam and your head is pulsating with legal rules and principles. Law students practically list into exams, their heads heavy with legal knowledge. And what is it you'd like to do? You'd like to show the professor how diligently you've gathered all this information. You'd like to spill it out in as many blue books as you can fill. Brrr! Look at all that law, professor. Aren't you impressed? And if you saw a question on an exam, define a battery, define an assault, give the elements of a robbery, how does one form a contract, you'd be comfortable with that question. Such a question calls for you to merely search the information bank in your brain, find the definition, throw it down on paper. Huh, you've answered the question. List five bases for corporate director liability. What is a bailment? Recite the rule against perpetuities. Trace the development of mens rea as a legal concept. How many persons must witness a properly executed will? I know that, you'd immediately think. Two. The difference in law school is that it's taken for granted you can memorize legal principles. It's a given you know the law. It's not so much do you know the law, but rather, given that you know it, do you know what to do with it? Can you apply the law we know you know, much as a judge or lawyer would, to a set of facts you've never seen before, so as to predict certain legal consequences? Thus, the pilgrim question in law school becomes, you're in the land of Oz. At this point in the live program, I go to the figure on diagram 2 and make more squiggles. The political situation is as follows, the moral, the social, the economic, the religious, more squiggles. Let's throw in a few other factors just for fun. And we've got the following groups. I add the letters A and B and C and D and E. You're told, predict which, if any of these groups, will migrate to the New World. It's taken for granted you have the reasons for migration firmly in mind. Now apply those principles to the circumstances of groups A through E. Predict, given the reasons the pilgrims migrated, whether any of these groups will go. And here's the kicker. The professor's not really interested in your prediction, so much as your steps of analysis en route to that prediction. This is a different kind of exam, but not an exam you haven't encountered before. You've gone into exam situations with rules, formulas, theorems firmly fixed in mind, and you had to perform close, analytic, problem-solving exercises, applying those rules and formulas. And although a certain amount of credit was given for the correct answer, more credit was given for the steps of analysis en route to that answer. Indeed, the grader emphasized that he wanted to see your steps of analysis en route to the answer. What kind of exams am I talking about? When this question is posed in the live program, students fidget and smile. They know the answer, and so do you. I'm talking about math exams, physics, chemistry, engineering, accounting exams. If there's something in your test-taking background most akin to a law essay exam, it's not a poli-sci or English or history exam. Rather, it's a math or science exam. Therein, perhaps, is the source of some of the confusion and unease students feel regarding the hypothetical type exam. Therein, perhaps, is the explanation for the circumstance that students with math, science, engineering, accounting backgrounds seem to do better on law exams. So much for the idea that doing well on law exams requires that one be a good writer. Math and science majors aren't good writers, are they? Probably not, but they're accustomed to close analytic thinking, concisely expressed.